Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 7, and verse 37. John chapter 7 from verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." It was during the Feast of Tabernacles that the Lord Jesus gave this wonderful invitation. The feast marked the end of the gathering in of the harvest, and it also commemorated the period in which the Israelites left Egypt and were saved from their bondage and wandered in the wilderness. And during the feast, people stayed in tents or booths in order to remind themselves that their forefathers had wandered in the desert and dwelt in tents until they reached the promised land. Well, here is a feast of the Jews that was an ordinance for the children of Israel at the time, which was a joyous occasion, attended with trumpets and ceremonies. Here, at this time, on the last day of the feast, when people were about to go home, the Lord Jesus stands up and he cries aloud. He makes an announcement. And he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Everyone could hear him. None of them could say they did not hear the invitation. All of them are hearing the voice of Christ out of this great crowd. Everyone, without exception, hears the invitation. "Let him come unto me and drink." And how did they respond? Well, they had different ideas. Some thought he was a liar. Others thought he was the prophet. Some of them said no one ever spoke like this man. They were taken in by what he said. But what is your reaction today? How do you respond to the invitation of Christ? If any man thirst, do you think about your needs? Do you think about your soul's needs? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And many people will desire one thing or another. But the Lord Jesus is telling us he has what will truly meet our soul's desires. And he is promising that those who believe in him, out of their inmost being, there will be a fullness and satisfaction that overflows in blessing for themselves and for others. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So if any man thirst, without exception, whoever that person is who thirsts, let him come to Christ and drink, and such will be satisfied. Let him come unto me and drink. And with the Lord's help, we consider, first of all, the sinner who is athirst. The sinner athirst. The sinner who is thirsting. And secondly, we will consider the Savior as the source. The Savior who is the source of satisfaction, of life and salvation. The Savior, the source. Thirdly, the Spirit of life. Jesus says that those who come to him, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which was promised. The Spirit of life. And fourthly, the invitation to come. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The invitation to come. Well, here are the four things we will consider this Sabbath morning. The sinner athirst. Secondly, the Savior the source. Thirdly, the Spirit of life. And fourthly, the invitation to come. Come, let him come unto me and drink. Well, we consider first the sinner athirst. And there is a sense in which thirst describes the experience of all humanity. What is meant by thirsting? That will be the obvious question. Well, generally, thirst is an emblem or a symbol of a desire out of need, desire out of a sense of need, a feeling of need, and a desire to have that need met. And again, not everyone is thirsting for the right thing. Not everyone desires. Not everyone feels their need as they ought. And they do not desire the best of things to meet their needs. And yet, we believe that this is at least pointing us to the deep yearnings of human nature. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. You see, everyone, of course, desires to be happy. And they desire the means of being happy. They want satisfaction. They want fullness. And so they're looking for one thing or another that they think will meet their need and give them that happiness. And sadly, many are going to the wrong source of happiness. So there's a sense in which thirst describes all humanity. They are needing something, and they're going to one thing or another for that need to be met. And some are going to sinful pleasures to satisfy themselves. They think they get a measure of satisfaction in it, and there is indeed pleasure in sin, but the apostle says for a season, is for a little while. And the Lord Jesus is calling sinners to come away from those attempts of satisfaction. It's like sinners are drinking from a muddy puddle. It's murky water that they're going to when they go to the sinful entertainments and these abominable sins that others are pursuing. They think that they'll get satisfaction there. And the Lord Jesus is telling them, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. You will be satisfied truly and forever if you come to Christ. And what are you thirsting after today? There were some soldiers stranded in the ocean. On lifeboats, perhaps, I don't remember the details, but it may have been during World War II, after a naval battle or somehow they had the ship was sinking, and there they were on lifeboats, many soldiers, and among them was a doctor. And the doctor was constantly telling the soldiers, yes, you're thirsty, but don't drink this ocean water. You will just get more dehydrated. You will eventually die of thirst. It will not meet your need. But there was a strong temptation to drink this ocean water. And some of the soldiers were eventually delirious, and they would scoop the water in their hands and say, doctor, can I just one drink? Just one drink. And the doctor would say no, and he would reach out his hand and knock their hands away from their mouth so they would not take a drink. And so it is, friend. You think that you'll get a little satisfaction from the world, but it will reduce you to a greater, severer thirst. And the Lord Jesus is calling you away from that, away from the waters that will just dehydrate you and drain you, the waters of the world, the satisfactions that the world temporarily give. They're like drugs. They will give you a temporary high. But the more you take of it, the less effect it will have on you until you're actually worse and eventually die. So it is with the world. It will not satisfy. The Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. What are you thirsting after today? Some are finding a measure of satisfaction in a domestic tranquility, in peaceful family relationships, and looking forward to a husband or wife or children or grandchildren, and they think that they will get lots of enjoyment out of family life, or in their academic pursuits, or in the job promotions. But the Lord Jesus is showing us from his word that these are only temporary appeasements of an inward longing, and they will not ultimately satisfy. The Lord Jesus told the woman at the well, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. But there are others who are in great need of, great felt need of salvation. We all need salvation. Some are feeling their need. Some cannot be satisfied without getting peace in their consciences. And true, man is guilty. And if anyone would just stop and think for a moment, they would recognize that they are sinners, their consciences either accusing them or else excusing them. And man knows there's a judgment day. And sometimes that becomes a great reality in their experience. And they are confronted with the requirements of the law, and their consciences are accusing them more severely. And there's a longing within for peace, peace with God ultimately. Some will resort to more sinful entertainments to drown the voice of conscience. Some will go to psychologists who will tell them that guilt is just a disorder of the brain. And do what you can to get rid of guilty feelings. Others will go to false religion, Islam, going to works, looking at various ways to get peace, that they can get a sense of reconciliation to God. Not every psychologist surely will point people in the wrong direction, but many do, and the point is that people are going to the wrong source. So many people, they have a longing desire for peace, a longing desire for satisfaction within, but they're going in the wrong direction to find it. Is this your thirst today? The Lord Jesus is saying, let him come to me and drink. The sinner is thirsting, and some who are, there are some who have a real spiritual thirst, a real desire for God, and a real desire for salvation, a desire for God, a desire to have that inward longing met. And there are some theologians who will emphasize that point. If any man thirsts out of this great big crowd, if there's only one soul that thirsts after God and salvation, let him come to me and drink. And the believer in Christ, it needs to be reminded that he's longing, she's longing after God. Well, go to Jesus, because if you see him, you see God. So here is the invitation to the sinner. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. All of us, objectively, are thirsting souls. We are dry, we are parched. We're in great, dire need. Very few actually feel that need. But all of us, objectively, are in great need. We need salvation. We need to be reconciled to God. If we are not in Christ, we will perish forever. And the Lord is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And that brings us to the second point, and that is the Savior himself, the Savior who is the source. Christ is the true source of satisfaction. To meet the inward cravings of human nature, the deep longings of the soul, Christ is the true source of satisfaction. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Lord Jesus has accomplished all that was necessary in order to reconcile sinners to God, and he has secured everlasting life for everyone who comes to him for it. The Lord Jesus is pointing to himself. Let him come unto me and drink. Salvation is not just delivering sinners from an awful calamity. Salvation, it does not consist just in rescuing people from typhoons and tsunamis and earthquakes. It's not just in saving them from eternal fire. But salvation consists in coming to a person. We need to come to Jesus. And the Lord is saying, let him come unto me and drink. You're a person, and you're called to a person. If any man thirst, you person, in your great need, come to this person, Jesus Christ. Let him come unto me and drink. Yes, we are to trust in a person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. You see his humanity in standing up in a prominent place and crying with his voice, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But you see his divinity, because he is telling all humanity, come to me and drink, and you'll be satisfied. Imagine a mere man telling the world, come to me and I will satisfy you. Perhaps people in North Korea and other countries under a terrible regime are being deceived and think they can be satisfied by a dictator. But the Lord Jesus is no mere man. And he's not deceiving anyone. He is saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As David Brown puts it, when we hear such words coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus, if he were a mere man, then it would be blasphemy. So when we hear his words, we must either say with Caiaphas, he is worthy of death, or acknowledge with Thomas, my Lord and my God, this man giving this invitation, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, is declaring that he is God and he can satisfy our needs and the needs of all humanity. Let him come unto me and drink. He is God, and I will get satisfaction in God my Savior. Are we going to Jesus? Are we trusting in the one whom God hath sent? Let him come unto me, he says, and drink. He is the Son of the Father in truth and love. He is the same in substance and equal in power and glory. He is infinite in being and perfection, and he has an infinite knowledge of the needs of man. And he knows even by human experience, because he is man. And Jesus Christ, in his humiliation, walked from Galilee to Judea and was there mixing in with a multitude in the on the temple grounds. And then in the middle of the feast, he is teaching the people. And he himself possessed and does possess human nature. And here in this world, he was in the frailty of human nature and experienced all the common infirmities of human nature, yet without sin. He himself experienced hunger and thirst and fatigue and pain and sorrow. And he knows with infinite knowledge the needs of man, just as they are the deep soul needs of human beings. And he came to provide salvation, not only to teach the people not only to perform many miracles, which he did, but to work out salvation, to obey the commandments that sinners have broken. He suffered and died on the cross to endure the wrath of God that sinners deserve. Here is a suitable Savior who has met all the requirements of law and justice to meet the demands. The law saying, pay me that thou owest. And the law says, and the justice of God says, you must die. You must perish forever because of your sin. Here's the law demanding obedience. Here's the justice of God demanding death. And Jesus Christ satisfied both. He obeyed the law. He suffered the penalty of death. He met the demands of law and justice. Here is a suitable Savior for sinners like you and me. Is this the Savior we desire today? Jesus says, come to me and drink. Come to me and be saved. And by his obedience to the law and his satisfying justice, the Lord Jesus secured life for sinners. He purchased salvation. He paid for that salvation by obedience and death. He paid by his own precious blood to the justice of God in order to purchase the salvation of his people for whom he died. He secured the gift of the Spirit that everyone who believes in Jesus might have the Spirit. Christ hath redeemed us, Paul says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus hung on the cross. He hung on the wood of the cross. He was pierced in his hands and feet. Why? The apostle says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. By believing in Jesus, who died on the cross, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. If we have the Spirit, we have life. We have fullness. We have salvation, satisfaction. And this is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water from within. What was he speaking of? But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Those who believe in Jesus will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to the third point, and that is the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life. Here is the promise of the Lord Jesus. Those who believe in him will receive the Spirit. Christ gives the Holy Spirit. Christ means anointed one. You know how priests and kings were anointed with oil as a sign that they were appointed to a particular office and they were qualified for it. Well, the Lord Jesus, being the anointed one, is set apart for a particular work and qualified for that work by the Holy Spirit. God the Father gave the Holy Spirit to him immeasurably. There was no limit to the gift of the Spirit to Christ. And from Christ, we receive the Spirit. It is through Jesus Christ, the God-man, him who is the mediator, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus promises that those who believe in him, those who believe in Jesus, will receive the Spirit because he gives the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus told the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you only knew what the gift of God was, you would ask of Jesus, and Jesus would give you spiritual life. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit that he promises to give to everyone who believes in him. Why does it say, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified? Well, the words are literally that which they that believe on him were about to receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. So he's speaking of the gift of the Spirit for those who believe, and then a certain manifestation of the gift, a particular time in which the gift would be given in a very special way. That would be after Jesus was glorified. So read the words again. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him were going to receive, or were about to receive. They're about to receive. They were going to receive. And it's pointed to Pentecost. And then it says, for the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. When Jesus is glorified, then the Holy Spirit will be given in a very plentiful way. Did believers enjoy the gift of the Spirit before Jesus died on the cross and before he ascended into heaven? Yes. The psalmist David says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He has a Spirit, and he wants the Spirit to continue to dwell in him and work in him. But before the death and resurrection of Christ, the gift of the Spirit was not enjoyed to the extent that it was later on, afterwards, when after he rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit was poured out more plentifully, and believers enjoyed the grace of the Spirit more than believers in the Old Testament ordinarily did. So here there's a more plentiful outpouring of the Spirit in the times after Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. So you think about the day of Pentecost. About 40 days, 50 days after Jesus died and rose again, the disciples were praying in the upper room, and then there was a sound of a rushing wind, and there appeared cloven tongues of fire over every disciple, and it was a sign that the Holy Spirit was now poured out. And what was happening, the Apostle Peter was explaining that Jesus had received the promise of the Father. And what was taking place was God was glorifying his Son, Jesus. So the gift of the Spirit in the plentiful way was God exalting his Son, Jesus. God was glorifying him. And it was also a sign that the work of Jesus, what, dying on the cross, was accepted. The redemption Christ purchased, that is his dying on the cross, this work of redemption, God accepted. And it is through the death of Christ that the Holy Spirit comes. You see, only after Jesus died on the cross, there's an outpouring of the Spirit. And so God is declaring that it is through the striking of this rock, Christ, the striking of the rock, that the waters gush forth upon the thirsty world. Jesus promises, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he's speaking of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He's pointing to himself as the source of the gift of the Spirit, and himself as he who would secure the gift by his death on the cross. When he dies on the cross, he gives the Spirit. And he's calling us to look to Jesus, to look to himself, Jesus, the one who was crucified. And when we get a view of Christ dying on the cross, then we receive the gift of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, Christ is directing attention to himself, and he's directing attention to him who suffered and died on the cross in order to give the gift of the Spirit. Go to Jesus, look to Jesus, because he has the Spirit to give. As the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You'll have an outflowing of life. You'll have it from within, and it will come to fruition in your life, as the Scripture hath said. He's not referring to any particular passage of the Old Testament, but to scriptures in general, which speak of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there are many, and perhaps we can just quote one in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11, where we read, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." These waters will fail not. You'll be like a watered garden. Your whole heart and life will be like a fruitful field, a watered garden, by the gift of the Spirit, the influences of the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. So as the Scripture hath said, you will receive life and fullness and blessing by the influences of the Holy Spirit. God will turn your darkness into light. He will show you Christ. He will draw you to Christ. He will strengthen your weakness, bringing you from death into life, and from a stagnant, murky pool into a spring and fountain of water. Out of his belly, well, perhaps that's pointing us to one verse, at least, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." It's just referring to the inner man. It is speaking of the soul, our inmost being, our soul. And from our souls, from within, deep, deep within, there will be issuing spiritual life. The Holy Spirit renewing our faculties, our understanding and our will, and drawing our hearts. We embrace Christ. We follow holiness. We have a desire to devote our lives to the Lord Jesus and serve him, to be like a watered garden, fruitful, serving the Lord. Is this not your desire? Does anyone thirst after this? Feeling parched? Oh, give me the Holy Spirit. As the Lord says, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." That is a promise to plead, and all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Christ promises, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Living water. And we know that running water is a sign of living water. When the water is bubbling over and is swiftly flowing as a current down the hillside, there's activity. It's a sign of life. And the Lord is speaking of living water, no longer dead in trespasses and sins, no longer cold and languish, no longer with withered hands. Christ is saying, "Stretch out your hand, believe on me, and you'll receive the gift of the Spirit, and from within there will be an overflowing of living water and all the graces of the Spirit, so that the believer will be enabled to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, to bear these fruits with life and vitality and the exercise of the graces of the Spirit. But rivers of living water, and speaking of the life-giving influences of the Spirit, are copious. They are abundant, overflowing. And the believer in Christ may not always feel abundant life, overflowing, full of joy and full of ability to keep the commandments and give oneself wholeheartedly without a strain to the service of Christ. She may not always feel that. But the source of that river of life is inexhaustible. This flowing of life is unstoppable. The irresistible grace of God. And it's all coming from the love of God, which is immeasurable. So that the apostle says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's diffused. It pervades our faculties. It's influencing my mind and my affections and my will. It's drawing my heart. It's in my heart. It's overflowing. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Lord Jesus told the woman at the well, drink of the water that I shall give. It shall be in him a well, or literally a spring, or fountain of water springing up into everlasting life, and will lead you on to the full enjoyment of God in Christ to all eternity. The river of the water of life struck out from within the heart, the soul, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers are diffusive. They spread. This life by the Spirit spreads out to influence others, to be useful to others, so that when we are filled in our own hearts, we have a sign of that by desiring that others would be filled also, and that we might be an influence for good to our neighbor. As we read in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, the liberal soul, that is one who is generous, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. There will be a desire to be doing good to others, and in that doing good to others, we get more good for our own souls. There will be a fullness that Christ gives us from his fullness, and receiving grace that is answerable to his grace. As the apostle says, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. What we see in Christ, in his meekness and his holiness and his zeal, he will give us the grace to be like him, to follow him in that humility and that devotion and in holiness. And he gives us an endless supply of grace. Friend, do you see your need of it? Is there a thirst at all in your soul for this water? It's the very opposite to temporal things. And some people are longing after eternal youth, and they're doing what they can to put on the color, to erase the wrinkles, even with surgery, to stretch out the skin and take away any sign of old age. It's a losing battle. All of us, every single one of us, are going to the grave, and our bodies will decay, will return to the dust, and everything that we hold on to in this life will eventually be taken out of our hands. But the Lord Jesus is telling us that the vitality of his grace will never, ever end. We may feel faint sometimes, but we need not worry, because the grace is always there. It's always in the offer, and the Holy Spirit will never be taken from his people. And we're to go on looking to Christ and waiting upon him. For they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint, and they will have eternal youth Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So here in Christ, by his Spirit, there is the source of satisfaction, so that we'll no longer feel the need to go off into the world and get a little bit of sinful pleasure and then get a sting in our conscience afterwards. We'll have the supplies of satisfaction within. No matter if we were in a dark prison cell or if we were just being fed bread and water, we'll be happy because we have Christ and his Spirit, endless comfort and joy. And the more outward things are taken from us, the more inward satisfaction we'll have, because Christ will never, ever leave his people, and he will never take his Spirit from us. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so also for those who are longing for reconciliation to God, they will get a sense of peace by looking to Jesus, come unto me and drink. And he will give us comfort and peace to be assured that we are indeed justified by faith in Christ. And so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us into a state of peace. And by the Spirit, he gives us the sense of peace, and we are assured that we will never be condemned. Comfort by his Spirit, and he is indeed called the Comforter. He gives consolation in prospect of the future, and he gives relief in all our trials and afflictions, and confirmation and assurance that we are the adopted sons of God. Is there a desire in your heart for any of these things? If so, the Lord is saying to you, let him come unto me and drink. He, as it were, puts his hand on your shoulder. You're desiring these things. You're desiring life and happiness. You're desiring God and reconciliation. You feel oppressed by guilt. You long for deliverance from the power of sin. Oh, then come to me and drink. You'll be saved. You'll be happy. You'll have peace. But he's not only speaking to those who have a longing after God and grace. He calls the whole world, come unto me. Incline your ear and come unto me. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come to the waters of salvation. And so we come in the fourth place to consider the invitation to come. Come. What is it to come? It is to believe. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Coming to Christ is believing in Christ. Remember, the Lord Jesus explains what coming is when he says in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So coming is explained by the word believing. The same promise of spiritual satisfaction is made to both coming and believing. So coming is believing. Believing in Christ, trusting in him. Trusting in Christ, but often we better explain believing by using the word coming. You say, what is faith? What is believing in Jesus? It's coming to Christ. Coming to him. It's not coming by our feet, but it's coming with our hearts. It's the motion of the soul toward Christ. The understanding and the heart are exercised toward Christ. We're taken up with him, coming to him. It's coming of the heart, in trust. And Christ is saying, come. Come to me. Do you see your need of him? Come to him. Are you feeling dire need and a great longing for deliverance from hell and damnation? Well, come to Christ. Come to him, whatever you feel your need. You need to come to him because he has what you need. And he's making sure that everyone hears his voice. just as he did on this great day of the feast. It was a day when the crowds were jubilant, and when there was another ceremony added to the feast, and that was the priests took a golden pitcher and got water from the pool of Siloam. And then there was a solemn procession from the pool of Siloam to the altar of burnt offering. And with the sounding of trumpets, the priest solemnly poured out from the golden vessel the water of Siloam to the base of the altar of burnt offering. And these exuberant crowds, they watched as they heard the trumpets blowing and the stream of water flowing down, from the altar down the temple grounds, and perhaps gathering into a pool and seeing the sunlight sparkle upon the water, and what joy they had. And someone said, if you had not seen the last day of the feast or the Feast of Tabernacles in this jubilant ceremony, you did not know what joy was. But the Lord is saying that what you see in this ceremony, or whatever makes you so glad and joyful, you'll find it in absolute perfection in me. The people were probably thinking about the water that came from the rock in the wilderness journey, and the stream from the rock that followed them through the desert, and it carried them into the future to look forward to the coming Messiah. But Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. If any man thirst, in this great multitude, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So what the Lord Jesus had offered to the woman at the well in a private way, he is making a loud proclamation to the whole world, to Jerusalem, the religious metropolis. He is proclaiming to all the crowds, and people would have come perhaps from Egypt and Asia, from all over to the feast of the Jews, and there they heard the loud proclamation of Christ. And he's calling you, and he's making sure that you hear his voice as well. How many are gathered here in this little congregation? Every one of you are being told to come to Christ. Not one of you is exempt from the invitation of the gospel. Come unto me. Doesn't matter who you are, whatever your background, whatever your circumstances, God is calling sinners. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You say, well, that's repentance, that's not faith. It is, it's included. How can we go to God without a mediator? We must go to God through Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Christ knows what you need. He in human nature sympathizes with sinners, yes, sinners that believe in him, but he knows the needs of sinners deep, deep within their souls, what they truly need. And he knows exactly your state. He knows exactly what will help you, what will deliver you. And only he can truly meet your need. Only he can truly satisfy. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Christ offers you real satisfaction, true happiness, from the well that will never run dry. When the solemn procession was made and the trumpets were blowing and the water was poured onto the altar, then the people heard the words of Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, come, friend, to Jesus and draw happiness and lasting satisfaction from the eternal fountain of life. Come to him. What keeps you back? Whatever it is, let nothing hold you back. If any man thirsts, let him come. Is it love of sin? Is it the love of the world? Is it your idols? Is it the fear of losing the good opinion of your colleagues or friends? Is it peer pressure? What's holding you back? Let him come unto me. And the Lord Jesus is not just giving permission to come. He's not saying, it's all right if you come. It is true. You're allowed to come no matter what your condition. You say, but what if I'm not thirsting the right thirst? Well, it's a question. And perhaps the invitation is given in such a way to make people think, what do they desire? Jesus said to the blind man, what will ye that I should do to you? What do you want? And he's telling you, what if any man thirst? Oh, what, am I thirsting? What do I desire? Do I desire the right thing? Do I desire God? Do I desire salvation? Do I desire Christ? But whatever your desire, you need Christ. And the warrant to come to Christ, what gives you the right to come to Christ, is not any particular desires you have. It's not any state of feeling. It's not a degree of conviction. But the warrant to come to Christ is his call. It's his command. Come unto me. This is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And sinners will perish, and they will be condemned for not coming. And they will perish because they did not obey the gospel. Jesus is saying, come. Yes, it's an invitation, but it's also a command. Let him come. It's imperative. It's the third person imperative. Let him come. If he was speaking to you directly in the first person, he would say, you come. You must come. But he's calling everyone. He's saying, let them come. If that person over there or that person over there desires, then let him come. He must come. So it's a command, and it's a call, and it's urgent, and he is earnest, and he is ensuring that you hear his voice, and his spirit is saying, come. Christ, through his servants, is saying, come. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Is there not everything in him to attract you? Do you not hear a wooing voice saying, come? He is sincerely calling you to come. And everyone who does come will absolutely be received. How certain is his call? If you come, you will drink. You'll be satisfied. Pray then that you would come. Pray that you would drink, because if you come, you will drink, and you will drink to your fill, and you will have lasting benefit. And with joy and enthusiasm, you will love his cause and kingdom. You will serve him with continued desire, going again and again to the fountain opened, having all your soul's needs forever satisfied. And the Lord Jesus, who suffered and died for believers, will be satisfied in your coming. Just as a parent who sees his thirsty child at a park come and say, can I have a drink? And with pleasure, you take out your bottle of water and give him a drink. So those who come to Jesus and drink of the fountains of life, he will be satisfied, causing them to drink of the rivers of his pleasure. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. All who come are welcome. None will be turned away who come. None perish. Let him trust. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. May he bless his word. Let us pray.